You've found an encore presentation of the Taxi Stand Hour on Radio TFI.
You found the Taxi Stand Hour. On Radio TFI.
From beautiful Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and even more beautiful St. Paul, Minnesota. Once again, you're tuned into the Taxi Stand Hour on Radio TFI. I'm John Shannon here sitting at my dining room table working through the technical difficulties, if you will. I'm actually coming to you from a cell phone. My partner at Van Ness is in the building, but says probably at least until I piss him off with something I say here, he's going to kind of stay in the background a little bit. So today, not feeling the best, but I'm sure I'll say something to spunk him up, and before long, it'll be just like nothing happened to him at all. So welcome. Thank you for listening today. Again, you want to join into our conversation here, and we have got a bunch of stuff going on today, but if you want to join in, number to call is 720-820-1203. And remember, if you're listening live in the London area, it is +44 330-998-1254. It'll prompt you for an access code. You can enter in 624-349 for that. To get on board with us here. There's a lot of response here this last week, especially from the UK. We finally got a couple of people from over there that are saying, oh, hey, wait a minute. You know, I have one that said he'd call in, but he's going with his wife for maternity classes. That's cool. I wish more guys would do that out here in the States, but congratulations to him. I don't have his Twitter handle right in front of me, but nonetheless, I wish him the best of luck there and hope he does eventually indeed call in. So, God, this is weird without having Ed actually sitting here. Come on, Ed, at least say hi.
Hi.
Curb your enthusiasm, my friend.
All right, let's establish one thing: that we are big time professional radio, and these technical glitches of ours are rare. They only happen maybe once a week, sometimes twice.
I think it adds to the WrestleMania effect of the show.
Is that a fact? Maybe that explains why I feel like somebody hit me across the back with a folding chair.
Oh. And a month ago, you would have never even known what that was all about.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. It was a month and a half ago,
2 months ago, whatever it was. I was the voiceover, and Ed would put together a opening segment. And Ed didn't know what the wrestling term "no holds barred" meant. And I thought, oh, my God.
Well, it's not that I didn't know what it meant. I just never connected the origin of it.
Connected to the wrestling.
Right. I never made the connection, so don't pick on me.
Yeah, I'll tell you the truth. Nobody in current-day wrestling actually uses that terminology. That's more of a old-school 70s style term, when wrestling actually was pretty damn good, I might add.
Yeah.
Not like the circus it is today. And anyways, let's get into some of this stuff here. We got a lot to talk about. I'll start us out here with a few headlines from throughout the week. Out in New York, apparently the police are going to start cracking down on fake Uber cars. And I found it kind of funny because the CBS station out in New York said that they were cracking down on fake cabbies, which I had to kind of remind them that all Uber drivers are indeed fake drivers. So let's get that straight
here. Well, the drivers are real. It's the concept that's fake.
Yeah, there you go. Out in Miami, down in your neck of the woods, apparently there's something called the Dolphin Expressway.
The Dolphin? I was on it last week.
Yeah, well, apparently
there, by the
somebody
way,
out there...
By the way, there's also a Don Shula Expressway.
Now, that doesn't surprise me.
And it's been there. It was there. They named it after Coach Shula when he was still active as a coach. Long before he retired.
Yeah. He was an incredible coach down there, you know. I watched his Dolphins when I was a little kid. I watched his Dolphins win the longest game in NFL history. I think it was like a double overtime.
Versus
San
Diego.
Back when overtimes were a full 15 minutes.
Right.
The field goal was kicked to oust my Kansas City Chiefs from another Super Bowl. So, damn you, Don Shula. But, yeah, great man, and he deserves any accolades he has received.
The big thing now is what you see locally is him and Dan Marino are advertising for an emergency room for a particular hospital. It's a thing around here now. Emergency rooms advertised, billboards, TV spots. I'm thinking to myself, is that what's going to make my decision as my leg is dangling off? You know, I want to go to the ER that Marino uses.
I want to go to the closest goddamn ER I can find.
Well, exactly. That's my point. I don't understand. Of all the silly advertising in the world... an emergency room seems to be the silliest, but
yeah, I totally agree.
But anyway, now you got me talking. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I didn't hear you. What?
I said now you got me talking, and I can't say I'm happy about it.
Oh, well, I'm horribly sorry about that.
Moving on.
But this Dolphin Expressway down in your neck of the woods apparently wants to have a diamond lane made off the shoulder.
Yes.
For buses and get this, Uber and Lyft cars.
Right, I saw that article.
And so they were referencing the spokesman here, a lady by the name of Tara Garcia, and I sent her a tweet. Of course, they never respond to these things.
By the way, there's something you don't see very often in Miami. Somebody with a Spanish surname.
Yeah. I asked her, are you going to include taxis into this? I mean, let's face it, it's the same purpose. They want to keep private cars at home and keep people off the road and what have you. Hopefully to end congestion. And they think that Uber and Lyft are the answers to that. Well, you're still having a car on. You're still having a single... a car with only one or two passengers on it, as opposed to a bus. So, I don't know.
As somebody locally replied to that, and I don't recall, it might have been on the uberpeople.net, the Miami forum, as somebody said, oh, what do you know? I've been in the beta test program for years on that. He's been using that shoulder. It's a very popular thing here for people to drive down the shoulder when traffic is backed up. So.
Oh, yes. They try
me.
It around here. We actually do have buses here that are allowed to drive on the shoulder, but they drive on the right side of the shoulder, which can cause a hazard for motorists trying to get on and off the highway on the on-ramps and what have you, but everybody around here has to yield to the buses. That's a state law here in Minnesota, by the way. If a bus wants to pull away from a bus stop, once that bus turns out or bus driver turns on the turn signal, you best be ready to yield for him, because he'll cut right out in front of you, and if he hits you, it's your fault.
Wow. Wow.
So yeah,
what a great stage.
Bus drivers here in Minnesota do not need to display any driving skills whatsoever.
Clearly, no. That takes a lot of the problem away.
Oh, of course. In Philadelphia, a 65-year-old woman stole a cab and actually started picking up passengers with it.
How'd she do?
I don't know. I don't think that I didn't see in here where she reported her income.
I bet she got tips.
What was that?
I bet she got tipped.
I bet she did. San Francisco. The city of San Francisco is looking for funding for wheelchair accessible car shares.
Right.
And we've covered this so many times, where somebody is not going to invest the money to have a wheelchair accessible vehicle. They are very expensive.
Yes, they are.
And then in turn be paid
peanuts
at the rates that Uber is paying for its other services.
Just to intervene there briefly, my last understanding of the conversion cost for a minivan to wheelchair accessible is somewhere between $5,000 to $8,000.
Yeah,
and
it's not cheap.
No, it's not. Moving on. I yield back to you, to the gentleman from Minnesota.
I'm not sure where this is, but I think it might be in the UK. But divorce lawyers are now using Uber data to catch cheats in court.
Mm.
So they're using data from the Uber platform to trace John Doe as he's off seeing his mistress.
And
now that's being used against him in the divorce cases.
I saw the headline on the article. I didn't read it, so I'm speaking from one of my favorite places, ignorance, one of the places I'm most comfortable. But I don't see Uber handing out that information to divorce lawyers. I think there's a lot more of that story than is being presented there. Again, I didn't read the story, so I don't know how they're, you know, what they're saying or what they're not saying. But
I don't think this is a widespread thing. But I think it's something that, you know, let's face it. Uber isn't exactly the best at protecting their riders' privacy to begin with, so I don't doubt it happening at all.
No, but any taxi company can do the same thing now. I mean, you've got a computer terminal in your cab.
But would they do it?
Well, would they do it? Probably not. But I have to, without reading the article, I have to hesitate because while Uber can internally, they're pretty free-handed about your information. They're pretty tight-lipped when sharing it with the outside world.
And nothing surprises me. You've seen with Uber for the last 2 years, absolutely nothing surprises me.
Oh, no.
We're seeing a couple different stories here where Uber drivers are simply saying it's not worth it. It's not worth it for the amount of time that they're putting in as opposed to the amount of money they're making. You know, and we could have told them that 2 years ago.
Well,
you know, these people that all want to be cab drivers coming out and thinking this is easy shit. And not so much. Isn't so easy, especially when you're only getting paid, you know, pennies on the dollar for the rides you're taking.
But bear in mind, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, the rates were higher.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
There was actually more money involved in it at the time. Now it's here's the goofball part of it. Okay, this is where it's making no sense. I know I mentioned. And we've talked about their upfront pricing now and how what the driver gets paid has precious little to do with what the customer gets paid. Well, I had a ride the other day was an XL ride. Turned out to be just one young lady from a hotel. She prefers a bigger vehicle. That's all. Actually, she said, I know when I order XL, somebody will get out of the car and put my bag in the back. And it's a little too heavy
Very
for
true.
Me. She said, yeah, the X drivers will not do it. So, anyway. So I get her to the airport. She's lovely. We had a wonderful chat. She's a bright young attorney. And anyway, so after I close out the job, I look at it and I see how much I get. And I got, for the ride, $21, something like that. And okay, that was right about where I expected it to be for the price range. And then I looked on you can look and see what the customer paid and what Uber got. Now, I've had plenty of jobs in the past couple of weeks that are, I get $4 or $5, Uber's getting $6 or $7 out of it. This one, Uber lost $6. $5
really?
And change. Yeah, it was the most bizarre thing I've seen so far. I don't understand how they cook this stuff up. I just don't understand it.
I think sometimes it's random numbers.
You know what? It makes you think it, because how is it on what they collected from the customer, $25 or whatever it was, $21, how is it they lose $6 on that? And they give me the whole thing.
I would, they say they've got analytics for this kind of shit. I don't believe it. The more I think about it, I think they just have some random number generator a range to follow, and that's where the price is, that's where it falls.
I don't know. See that? I got talking, and I didn't want to talk.
Oh, I'm sorry. My poor snowflake.
I hate you.
Oh.
By the way,
there's a good I put this out here on the Twitter feed, and it's been circulating as well. But there is a lawyer out in New York. His name is Stephen Sharker. Actually, he calls himself Stephen Sharker Esquire. Now, when I see that right away, I'm thinking, well, you're a pompous asshole. But he's writing that Uber's valuation is a myth and drivers have no future with Uber. Now, again, we don't need a law degree to see that, see the point in that. But this was a guy who made a post on LinkedIn a couple of months ago that said, the gig economy is here, and we better get used to it.
And you know where you can find the link to that?
Right on... Oh, what is the name of that? What is the name of that Twitter feed? It's called...
Actually, you can find the entire article on RadioTFI.com.
Oh, you got that up?
Indeed, I did.
Well, you... Oh, my God.
Please hold your applause till the end of the show.
Back, man. What is this?
You have no idea the kind of things I do behind your back.
You're probably right.
But
really, I don't want to know.
You don't want to know. You're a better man for not knowing. But
exactly.
Go on. It's a very, very interesting article.
It is. He's not the greatest of writer when it comes to his punctuation and even some of his spelling. But he makes a great point in that. And... he brings up in that the fact that the fact that they've been subsidizing rides with their investors' money and giving away free rides, and they're just it's not a financially viable situation for them. You know, I gotta believe that there is a reason why taxi companies went from paying their drivers a percentage of their bookings to just leasing the cab. Now, not everybody in the country does that, but for the most part now, all you are is an independent contractor. You lease the cab for X amount, you fill it back up with gas, and there's your money at the end of the shift. Because I just don't think the whole idea in this day and age of paying a percentage to a driver is really a sustainable business model.
Now, do you know why that came out of favor? The old 60-40
split?
Well,
I think a lot of it was that there were a lot of drivers that were probably, taking flag downs and weren't putting it on the sheet.
Well, sir, if I that's a ding, ding, ding. You got that correct, because drivers are cheats.
Not me.
Not you, of course not, Pookie. I would never.
Not me, of course not.
I would never point that soiled finger at you. But for the other 99.999% of cab drivers. Now, as I have previously proposed on this program, these days it would be much easier to do a modified form of a percentage and get the cab companies with some skin in the game. Because let's face it, they're collecting their money up front on Monday. We'll see you next week, Skippy.
Yeah.
And they have very little incentive to... But without getting too deeply into that, if you folks want to see this article and read this article by Stephen Shanker, it is a very, very interesting article. Not only have we posted the link on RadioTFI.com, you'll find it under links, but we posted the entire article. It's there, and it's a very, very interesting read. Whether you're in the business or not, but certainly if you're in the business, and it's... Again, a very interesting read, and no matter where it is you go, you can find it on, I believe it was LinkedIn or whatever the site was. We certainly have it here, and John,
yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
So you remember how Uber there for a while was bringing puppies to certain places back when they first started out?
What were they bringing?
Puppies, dogs, little
puppies.
Baby dogs.
Puppies.
Yeah, puppies. Yeah, remember when they do that?
I couldn't find the button.
apparently a Lyft driver from somewhere in New Jersey decided the opposite was true. He went in the back seat and threw his passenger's dog out of the car.
Ah, there you go. Now we're talking.
The evil Lyft. You know, it's so funny because...
Crooked. People evil who, Uber, crooked Lyft.
Yeah. People who think that Uber, who got on the delete Uber train and, I'm going to use Lyft. I'm going to use Lyft. Listen up, people. I will be willing to bet that at least half, if not more, of your Lyft drivers out there also have the Uber platform.
Oh, you're way off on that.
Okay, what do you think the number is?
It's more like 90%.
You think so?
Oh, absolutely.
Do you think that's true across the board as far as Uber drivers that started out with Uber and added Lyft? Or?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And remember I said at least.
Oh, then it's at least 1%. And certainly no more than 100. How about that for covering your ass, you?
There you go.
You commie pinko.
That's what it's all about, man. Yeah, there's a video out there, and again, the link is on our Twitter feed there, at Taxi Stand Hour. Just scroll down. It's about 10 or 15 stories down. Yeah, of course, I don't know what kind of joy you get out of watching a guy throw a dog out of a car, but they're such wonderful people over there.
Some of us find that amusing.
What was that?
Some of us find that amusing. Amusing.
Yeah. Well. Back in England, apparently and unfortunately I didn't have time to read this story. But it's saying that.
But that won't stop us. That won't stop us from talking about it, though.
Of course, it's what I've now. Again, maybe I'm wrong here, but I would be willing to bet that what that means is that you remember that if you respond, I said this for a long time. If you respond to a call for service, whether it be via an app, being sent a text, answering the phone, responding to smoke signals, whatever. If you're responding to a call for service, you are now technically you are part of a transportation network company. It doesn't matter how your car is stickered up. You know, you could have all the stickers like Sean does on his old car, or you could just show up in a regular unmarked car. You are a part of a transportation network. And without looking, I am sure that there are at least some companies, probably not in London per se, but, you know, maybe up in Melbourne or not Melbourne, excuse me, that's Australia, dummy.
That's Florida.
But, yeah, you know, there's a Melbourne, Florida, yes, too. But, like, I meant to say Manchester. And maybe other smaller communities in the UK. I'd be willing to bet that to hell with all this licensing and the knowledge and all that kind of stuff. You know, I think that they're gonna start beating Uber at its own game.
Well,
and why not?
Possible.
I don't know. In a small town in Louisiana called Kerner, I think it is, taxi drivers are suing a law that actually favor Uber and Lyft drivers. We really haven't seen that go through as of yet. Have you seen any lawsuit that has come through that has actually where the plaintiffs have won?
You kind of lost me on the question there.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, in this town in Louisiana, Kenner it's called, excuse me. Apparently they're suing over the state law there, or not state law, the city ordinance, I guess it is, that is favoring Uber and Lyft drivers.
Right.
And I'm sure that
who's suing
has to do with the same thing, you know.
Who's doing the suing, Joe?
What was that?
Who's doing the suing? Who's suing who?
Taxi drivers.
Are suing the city?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, this is just a little town, I'm assuming, that's outside of New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, I don't know if you've heard this or not. I've heard from a couple different sources that New Orleans cab drivers actually are doing pretty good, despite Uber and Lyft.
Oh, good for them.
Yeah. A dangerous job. That's one city I don't know that I'd ever drive a cab in.
Well, if you can't deal with drunks, that is not the town to be in.
It has nothing to do with the drunks. It's dangerous.
Well.
I saw back about 5 or 6 years ago, again, I don't know if things have changed, but that's one of there are more murders of cab drivers there in the New Orleans area than there is just about any place else in the country.
Yikes. Let's get back to Kenner. I'm a little froggy on the question. Who's suing who,
well,
and have I heard what about where?
Well, what it is, and I'll bring up the story here real quick. That is, if of course my Twitter feed will let me do it. There we go. It's from the New Orleans Times. What is that called?
Picayune.
From the New Orleans newspaper.
Picayune.
What's that called?
Picayune.
Oh, I couldn't have.
The Times Picayune.
Yeah. It says here Kenner drivers are suing the city of Kenner over an amended vehicle for hire ordinance that they say is unfair because it waives the occupational license requirement for drivers who work for ride booking companies such as Uber and Lyft. Some Kenner taxi cab drivers have filed a suit against the city of Kenner in an effort to overturn an ordinance that exempts drivers with ride booking companies such as Uber and Lyft from having to purchase an occupational license.
Right. Okay.
We've seen this across the country.
Yes, we have. And it's never really come to anything because the politicians are crooked.
Well, yeah.
I mean, that's
so they're gonna take it to court. Well, you know, it just means that Uber is gonna have to shell out more money.
That's really all it means, and it's unfortunate. I've said it before, and I feel the need to say this whenever I broach this topic. I am not the type of person who goes around screaming corruption, conspiracy,
neither am I,
etc. However, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, this cannot be said enough. Uber did not get to have statewide regulations in 36 of our great United States of America without greasing a palm here and there. Okay? It is all politics. It is all money. And unfortunately for these gentlemen, these ladies and gentlemen in Kenner, Louisiana, they are essentially throwing their money down the drain. Because it will not come out in their favor. I don't know the judges involved.
Well, it won't happen until at least some politicians grow at SME.
Right. And as we all know, the fact that there's a lawsuit pending will not stop Uber from plying their trade on the streets of that fine American community, Kenner, Louisiana.
Well, yeah, especially the thing is I'd never heard of Kenner, Louisiana before this story. So if it can't happen in New York City, if it can't happen in Las Vegas or Los Angeles or San Francisco, it sure as hell probably not going to happen in Kenner, Louisiana.
Well, you make a poor choice. A poor example when you use New York City, my friend. Because remember,
why is that?
Remember, New York City is one of three cities in this great nation of ours. That, by the way, is already great and does not need to be made greater. Again. New York City, Houston, Texas, Columbus, Ohio. The only three municipalities where Uber drivers have to be registered. They have to follow real laws, real taxi-like laws, etc., etc. Now, how they operate in those cities is a whole different story, but those cities would not budge on getting fingerprints, real background checks, etc., etc. So, I understand your point. New York City is just a poor example. And New York's got their own problems with Uber right now. My God, the traffic has increased.
I've seen that.
And
we were just in New York City here.
Yes, yes.
And I don't know that I noticed an increase in Manhattan traffic because I've only been there one other time before. But do you know for a fact if Uber and Lyft drivers need to display the emblem in the windshield like they do in a lot of other cities?
Where, in New York?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, they have to have what's known as TLC plates, Taxi Limousine Commission plates.
Oh,
there's
I haven't. Maybe I just wasn't looking for them, but I just didn't seem to see that many of them.
TLC plates are very distinctive. It's what the taxi cabs have, et cetera, et cetera. Now, when I was there in December of 2015. I was there for a family Christmas event, and I stayed at a hotel in Midtown Manhattan. And let me tell you, John, every time I walked out of that hotel, which had a parking garage and all that, it's on a pretty good street with a... Anyway, there were always at least four or five of these cars parked in front of the hotel. You know, waiting. Mm. Waiting. Not only for a quote-unquote legitimate ride off the app, but whoever they could grab off the street as well. And you would see them bunched up on almost every street corner, and they were all over the place. And as you may have noticed in your one visit there, Parking's at a little bit of a premium in Manhattan.
Parking is a premium.
Yes, it is. You will pay, it is conceivable to pay more for parking in a month than you will pay for your apartment.
Oh, I bet.
And have more room in the parking spot than your apartment.
Oh.
Hey, if
so
I'm
now out of Chicago. Chicago for, you know, when we went there over Valentine's Day, we took a couple of cab rides while we were there in Chicago, and they were, the drivers were saying Uber is really hurting them there, but apparently they're filing doing protests over rising foreclosures there. Apparently things are getting so bad that cab drivers there are losing their homes.
Sure.
You know, driving cab in Chicago used to be very lucrative, you know. Not so much anymore. If there's any city that Uber has seemed to take and hold, is Chicago. And I hear more reports that the Chicago taxi industry, probably more so than any other American taxi industry or American taxi I'm losing my thought train there. I'm sorry. Basically, they're in more trouble than just about any place else in the country.
Well, all you have to do is look at the stories of individual drivers. I place myself firmly in that category. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't a year and a half ago. I had a business. I owned 12 cars. I had 24 drivers. I had an office. I had this. I had that. You know, I wasn't getting rich, but I was paying the bills. I didn't have to drive as often. And it's all gone. Thank you, Uber. Thank you, Travis.
And I'm not. Let me ask you something now.
Sure.
They're in Fort Lauderdale. Was the taxi industry more based on walk-ups, or was it based on radio calls?
Mainly dispatch calls. I mean, we have our areas where you're more likely to get flagged down, but primarily for the county. We tend to refer to it as Broward County as opposed to Fort Lauderdale because we covered the entire county. But basing it on the county, no, you were more dependent on the dispatch system, whatever it may be, whether it was the old radio when I started or the tablet based that's in use right now. So, I want to go back now that you got me talking, and I don't really want to talk, but now I'm going to talk.
I told you it happened.
I know, because I'm very predictable, and I can't keep my mouth shut. First off, going back to something we was mentioned ever so briefly last week, the TLPA, which is a useless bunch of windbags these days, who are more concerned about patting themselves on the back than they are about really resolving any issues. They have spent the past couple of years just watching Rome burn while figuring out exotic destinations to have their conventions
and
right.
Yeah.
And I can promise you for a fact, they want no part of driver input. Oh, they'll parade drivers out. This guy drove a million safe miles, or this one's gone 10 years without a complaint that, you know. But we hosted the conference a few years back. Right here in beautiful Fort Lauderdale. Yellow Cab made sure there wasn't a driver around when they paraded TLPA bigwigs through. They brought them through on a Sunday when they knew there would be few, if any, drivers around the property. There were a couple of drivers that asked about, you know, going to where the convention was being held to, you know, if not to take part, at least to, you know, kind of check it out and see what was going on and be a fly on the wall. No, absolutely not. I was told there's no tickets available for you. But you're printing the tickets. So, you know, so...
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, you would
try to present things as everything's okay, you know, it's
right.
All unicorns and rainbows and what have you.
What I need you to think about now is everybody needs to put on their tinfoil hats and think about the movie Animal House. And at the end, during the parade scene, after the marbles have been released, and chaos is ensuing, and there's Kevin Bacon in his ROTC uniform saying, "Remain calm." As chaos breaks out around him, "Remain calm. Everything's going to be okay. Fine." And this is, the other thing I want to touch on right now, which has absolutely nothing to do with the TLPA, is, and this is for you, Bubby. And this is for everybody. Everybody give John a little, because for what I believe might be the first time in the history of this broadcast that you and I have been together, you actually had a list and you stuck to it, buddy boy.
Well, it's kind of what I was thinking about here. You know, it just for those who don't know, you know, we are, you know, well over 1,000 miles apart.
The hell you say?
We pretty much have limited contact during the week because, you know, we both have jobs. We both have to support our families ourselves. We don't have a lot of time to do pre-show and what have you. I think we do pretty damn good considering all of that. But I just decided that, you know, okay, this is how we should do it. We should read off headlines, and some of them might require a little bit more conversation than others. We got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about as far as Trump is concerned, and Sean Spicer, and let's not forget, the juice. Before we get into that real quick, numbers to call if you want to join into our conversation, even want to steer us in a different direction, I don't care. 720-820-1203, the number to call here in the great United States, where we, I think, are actually making America more great than good old Donald Trump.
I like to think we're
a different story for a different time.
I like to think here at Radio TFI, we are making America itchy again. That's my goal.
Well, good. Nice. If you are in the UK, we haven't talked too much about what's going on over the pond there, but if you want to call us from over that way, +44 330-998-1254. The access code, once you get through, is 624-349. Still love to hear from somebody over in London. And by the way, it got a whole lot easier now to listen to past broadcasts of the Taxi Stand Hour, as Ed has worked painstakingly to actually put these episodes up on the server. Now they're available on demand. Plus, if you just want to tune in on a particular day, you can listen to the rebroadcast of this show basically Sunday through Friday at 10 a.m. and also to the Monday show every Monday at 8 a.m. or excuse me, 8 p.m. rather, Eastern time.
Is that live?
You can... That... No, well...
8 p.m. Monday. Is that live?
If all of a sudden somebody calls and gets through on one of those shows, well, then I think there are higher powers that we better definitely respect.
So what you're saying is the 8 p.m. Monday show is not live?
The 8 p.m. Monday show is live.
Oh, okay. I was confused about that.
Well, I
should really listen to that.
Pretty funny stuff, that's true. Let me see. Do I actually see anything else here?
Uber
related?
One more thing.
Okay.
There was something I wanted to. Oh, if nobody can remember what times all those encore performances are or the live performances, do you think there's any place they could find a schedule?
That would be probably radiotfi.com.
Well, what do you know? Possible? What do you know?
Give that dog a bone.
Damn it, you say things when I'm not ready. Anyway.
Let's drive off the road here for a second and talk about probably the biggest story outside of Donald Trump, and that is the juice will soon be loose. As soon as it looks like in October.
Him running through an airport now takes on a whole new meaning.
Well, now he's going to have a powerized wheelchair to get him through the airport, but, you know, hey. He'll be able to drive at least 40 miles an hour, because that's just how the juice live.
Somebody put up a tweet, or a picture on UberPeople.net of a 1994 Bronco. And it was a screenshot from the O.J. Chase and said, wondering if this would qualify as an XL vehicle. Asking for a friend who needs work. The juice is loose.
Cute.
By the way, how's the poll going?
Oh, you know, we get body responses on all these polls. They put them up on the Facebook group and also the Twitter page. And, you know, we get a handful of responses. But
because
the trend is pretty much that most people agree that O.J. Simpson should have been paroled. Of course, you know, somebody made a comment.
Now, John, explain the whole poll. You stopped halfway. What was the whole question on the poll? The entire question.
The question read, and let me go. By the way, for those again, a technical note here. I'm actually calling in on my phone today. My computer was my computer decided it wanted to restart on me and do the update thing, so I wasn't able to log on that way, so I'm basically using the phone. But the question actually was,
for changes,
do you think O.J. should have been paroled based solely on the armed robbery conviction?
Now, I happen to
the Twitter poll, it was, with a handful of votes, 71 to 29 in favor of him being paroled. I haven't been over to the Facebook group yet. I don't know what that is, but the last I looked, it was similar. I think there was only basically one no vote in over there.
Now, it's interesting because I was thinking of the very same question when I happened to see the poll you put up, and I happen to agree with the fact that based simply on this incident, he should be paroled.
Yes.
What you think should or should not have happened in 1994, 1995 is completely irrelevant. Like the results or not, he was tried in a court of law, a verdict was rendered, that, my friends, is that. You can argue and scream about it all you want. I watched Christopher Darden, who prosecuted the case. He is still a very bitter man about this. And look, I understand he put a lot of time, effort, work into it, wishes he had never been involved in it, and I can see his point on that. And this is going to be with him forever. Did he do it? Who the hell knows? I personally think his son did it, but that's just me. But based on just what happened in Vegas, he's done his time. He's entitled to a parole. He's apparently behaved himself. That, as they say, is that.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I don't know who to believe on the deal with the murder of his, of Nicole and Rod. I don't know what to make of that.
Well, that's a whole nother show, 25 years in the making.
Well, yeah, no, exactly. But I do tend to agree with you, is that, based on what happened when he was convicted and sent to jail over this armed robbery, I mean, hell, even if the guy that he victimized is willing to stand up for him, well, I mean, how could you not? How could you not let him let him go? I just, but, you know, hey, you know what? At this point in time, all we can do is just hope that he has learned his lesson. Excuse me.
Bless you. You wretched soul.
Man. So, yeah, let's just, I actually don't wish him any ill, you know, any ill harm here. You know, it's, you know, it happened. He's lived his life. Has he, if he did indeed kill Nicole and Ron, he's probably gone, you know, it's probably affected him more than any of us can realize. I mean, the man was used to being a hyper celebrity.
Right.
And that'll never, you know, other than maybe a few tabloid type shows, that's never going to happen again.
All right. So. Can we move on to the last big set of stories for the week?
I got one other thing I want to cover here, and it's back in my own city, and Minneapolis.
Oh, yes.
Is starting to be known as the police shooting capital of the world. I should say not just solely Minneapolis, because Philando Castile was actually murdered by a police officer in suburban Lauderdale, Falcon Heights, excuse me, Minnesota. But this is getting out of hand.
Didn't they fire the police chief yesterday?
Where cops are, well, I guess for those who've been living under a rock, apparently it did happen, a young lady who had called 911 to report some disturbance went out to meet the squad car, which obviously is a bad idea too after you call 911. And now apparently you know, she was shot. This cop that shot her shot the young lady. Approached the cop car from the driver's side, and the cop that was in the passenger side shot her. Actually, I don't know how far he reached out his gun. I don't know if there was a risk of him possibly even hitting his partner, but indiscriminately shooting, and she died on the scene. You know, we go back to the Philando Castile shooting. You know, the cop opened up, you know, basically emptied his clip in that young man. And this is getting out of hand. Now here in Minneapolis, just yesterday, the police chief, Jhené Harto, resigned. And I think it was probably one of those things where the mayor suggested strongly that she resign. But, yeah, nonetheless, so, yeah, this is starting to get to be the wild, wild west out here with police shootings.
I mean, I don't have all the facts, and I imagine after a time they will come out. But I have to wonder, is it standard operating procedure when driving down an alley to have your gun drawn? Because he had to have had his gun drawn.
Yeah.
Or in the time it would take him to draw his gun after she approached the vehicle, that 3-4 seconds should have been enough time to establish that she's not an immediate threat.
She's not a threat.
Not immediate threat. I mean, yeah, I'm guessing they could see her hands and all that, and it doesn't seem, and if they started barking orders at her, I'm sure she, well, it'll all come out. I don't see how this officer walks away from this.
Well, you never know.
Hey, that's
of course,
true.
Here's the thing. Here's the other intangible that we are not seeing. You're probably not seeing nationally. The police officer that shot her is of Somali.
Oh, they've made that clear. That's been.
Oh, have they? Have
oh,
they
absolutely.
Nationally?
Absolutely.
Mohammed Noor is his, yes. Is his name. And up here, right away, the Somali community up here you know, God bless them. They've done a lot of good up here. For the most part, they've been pretty model citizens. But one problem that we seem to have with them up here, and it's repeatedly happening, is that they refuse to take any responsibility. They don't want to admit that this police officer may have overreacted to the situation.
Yeah.
They are in complete denial over it.
Well, hopefully the facts will come out.
But he refuses. The other thing that we find puzzling here is he refuses to speak to investigators. Now, apparently that's his right, but he refuses to talk about it.
Well, that'll come back and bite him.
Oh, I'm sure.
So.
Absolutely.
It's not that I want to cut this short. I don't, but I don't want to leave this week without talking about our other big issues. The big story from yesterday. The circus in D.C.
On Pennsylvania Avenue.
Sean, we hardly knew you. I hope Sean grabbed Kellyanne on the way out and they took an Uber pool to the airport together. It is good for him.
I won't be happy, quite frankly, at this point in time until the buffoon that's occupying 1600 is gone. You know,
that's coming. But
even if I would have been a fool enough to vote for him, I'd still want him out. He has made this country a laughingstock. This is like a rudderless ship.
It is. I want to focus on Sean Spicer for a moment, though.
I
have felt bad for this guy because he has been... He bought into all of Trump's mania, if you will. And he wanted to serve his president. And he had to go out there and even though he knew what he was spewing was pure and utter garbage, yet he went out there like a good little soldier and told the lies that he was told to tell. And I feel that he is going to spend the next few months taking long, hot showers to try to get the stink of this Trump administration off of him. He is unfortunately going to be stuck with this for the rest of his life. And I don't think he's a bad person. I think he just got hooked up with the wrong bunch of kids.
Yeah, so then the question remains, is he going to eventually come clean with us?
I think what's going to happen is, well, first off, they threw the wrong guy under the bus. He knows where some of the skeletons are. This is why, this is the gang that couldn't shoot straight. They keep shooting themselves in the foot. That's the only place they seem to be able to aim well, is at their feet. I believe at some point, I think Sean Spicer keeps his mouth shut, sits quietly somewhere until there comes a point that they're just going to piss him off so much. And they're going to put not just his life and lifestyle, you know, make a mess of it, but it's going to start affecting his family. Then at some point when he has nothing to lose, he's going to let loose. And there will be plenty of people listening. Plenty of people.
Oh, I'll bet. Either that or a tell-all book, maybe in our future here.
It could be. Well, according to the big clock on the wall.
According to the big clock on the wall.
Oh, the big clock's gone. Somebody stole it.
Oh, my God. You had to get better security there.
You're not wrong, my friend.
Seriously.
Okay.
Well, it looks like we're going to put another episode of the TaxiStand Hour on Radio TFI to bed. Again, remember to catch us here on the on demand, or listen every day at either 10 a.m. or 8 p.m. Eastern Time to get your.
I'll be here Monday night at 8 p.m. I'll be here Monday night at 8 p.m. with my guest Mike Trotter, the greatest cab driver in the world, to hear him tell it. John? Have a good day. See ya. Later.